nice, very nice.
Yeah, nice little.
Yeah.
You weren't expecting that, that's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, you were having a discussion at our table.
My back to you.
No.
You have stirred back my head, sorry about that.
Stop that.
Your evaluation's almost in.
That's right.
Fisher.
Fisher.
A big guy or a.
Stalker and Fox. His son, I think, is a big guy.
His son's a.
Or ask me.
There you go.
Well, that was nice.
Yeah.
I better send you the card, I don't get that often.
I know, and Cox thought you were pretty good too.
They're talking good about him last night?
I know, Stalker and Cox both this night.
Holy cow, I gotta talk to those guys.
Where was this party at? I don't wanna miss it.
Royal.
Oh, my God.
It was supposed to be a gift, but it was at Royal. We're thinking, I was talking to Kenny Schmidt, I've known him for a while, but, well, this ought to be in Thomasboro, at least you can go right off 45, you don't have to go through the country anywhere.
Used to be in Rantoul, that on the base there.
That's what he said, but that's okay. We're better off where we're at.
That was a nice place, I don't know if it got too expensive, but I think it did, they raised their prices.
Millie Roseman owns that.
Bob Sherman thinks it ought to be out of Pear Tree Estates, can't imagine what that would cost. I imagine that'd be a pretty good penny.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like you'd have room cooking, you'd have the Murray girls would have to cook.
Right, yeah, you couldn't have that group cooking.
Couldn't have.
Hey, dude, how are you?
Okay, it's 9 AM, we're gonna call them in order. Can get a roll call.
Everybody's here.
My golly, we got a full group today.
Yes.
Jay.
Here.
Full house.
Michaels.
Here.
Mitchell.
Here.
McGuire.
Yes.
Richards. Carter.
Here.
Alex.
Here.
Coert.
Present.
Quorum is present.
Okay, need approval of the minutes for the Highway and Transportation Committee for November.
So moved. Mr. Carter.
Okay, any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, we need approval of the agenda and the addendum.
I move that to.
Second.
Move it second, any discussion?
Could we move the addendum up to item right underneath public participation so the RPC folks can get on with their day?
Sure.
Okay. It's been amended that we move RPC up. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. We're in public participation.
Let me jump in on public rather than other business.
Okay.
I just wanted to, for the record, we've had, obviously, we all know of the Gifford disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And what's been taking place there, but I wanted to put it on the public record about the Highway Department and the Township Road Commissioners and Jeff on their quick action and reaction to the tornado out in Gifford. The work they did was extraordinary. The response from the community and from the Highway Department and from the Township Highway Commissioners was extraordinary. They were there immediately after the tornado, helping to search and rescue and then clean up. So I just want to put it on the record how awesome that group of individuals were, along with all the other community volunteers and first responders to the Gifford. And we're just getting started now on getting rebuilding Gifford. But I just wanted to put it on the record on the admiration I have for the response from the Highway and Road Commissioners. Thank you all.
And I'd just like to commend Tracy was in charge of the entire cleanup effort on the public right-of-ways, and in charge of not only our guys, but both the city crews and the state crews.
Right.
And he was up there a lot more hours than I was, sleepless nights and Our guys worked at night one night because there were so many people there during the day, so he did a fabulous job of working with the sheriff and the emergency management people. And, you know, it's all about having good relationships with those people when these kind of things happen. And that's what I preach here, and I know Tracy has really good relationships with the sheriff's guys and EMA, so that was very, very helpful during the effort to help them through their disaster.
Again, thanks to your entire crew and to the entire community for coming together. It seems we overlook all the animosities and ideology when something like this happens, and we just move together as one. And it shows the response that took place. Of course, the training, along with Jeff and all of those first responders that we did in April, was an excellent preparation for what we never expected to happen so quickly,
right,
that did. But I just want to again get it on the record on how appreciative I am of the response that
and
came out.
I know that Shane Cook and the EMA director and the sheriff are going to be having a meeting with the townships probably,
right,
in January to talk about trying to get all the townships on board with the Illinois Public Works Mutual Aid Network,
right,
that we just joined.
But we're working now at critiquing some of the actions that took place and where we can improve our response time and
right,
response to a disaster like this. And it'll be helpful in the future for future preparation, prevention, and early warning.
Okay, anyone else for public participation before RPC? Seeing none.
You guys are on.
Yeah.
Rita, I need you to kind of talk.
Here?
Yeah, that'd be great. So we can.
Okay. On the memo, we explained that we are submitting a grant application to get 7 vehicles to continue providing service in Champaign County, rural Champaign County. 2 of those vehicles are going to be used to provide transportation mainly for employment, and 1 for medical services, and the other 4 will be to expand the current service that we are providing. At this time, we are using vehicles that don't belong to Champaign County, that they belong to Vermilion, and we are just borrowing those vehicles. Then the intention will be, once we get these 7, then we'll be able to give those back to Vermilion and expand the service. We already expanded the service back in May, but we are not able to cover all the people. Then this will help our case. Then what we need is a resolution from you to be able to submit the grant and have a public meeting.
How does this couple in with Chris? Is this?
It's Chris doing it. At least until June 30th, 2014, they are going to be providing the service.
Okay, because I don't see that here in the, like our memo and stuff. I didn't understand how it would coordinate with that. So it's the same thing, or are you breaking apart?
It's the same thing.
Okay.
They are going to continue to provide,
okay,
the service. As I said, we have a contract with them until June 30th of 2014.
Right.
Once we get there, a meeting with Amy Marchand on Tuesday, to discuss all the possibilities, because they have a new board, and the new board that they have in Vermilion County will have to decide if they want to continue to provide service to Champaign or not.
Rita, you forgot to mention about the seniors. They lost transportation funding and that meal funding.
Yeah.
They got cut a little bit. So, but we're still wanting to make sure that the demand has in Champaign County has outpaced our vehicle capacity by 2-fold.
Yeah.
And we just have to group the trips a little better, but we need just, you know, a few more vehicles to get.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Diane?
I guess what I'm asking is, do you expect to continue using Chris as a conduit, if you will, for this transportation? Or are you eventually going to let Vermilion County do their thing and then Champaign do?
For now, they are going to continue. As,
okay,
I said, until June 30th of 2014, we have a contract with them.
Right.
But as I said, they have a new board.
Okay.
it's up to the board to decide in which direction they are going to move, beginning July 1st.
Yeah, they lost their entire board except for one person, luckily that was their chair, though.
Right, yeah, yeah. And because we have grown so much, we don't know if they will have the capacity to continue to provide the service.
Great.
So what happens if they don't?
We'll have to look for different options. We are already doing that, talking to several different providers to see who will be able to help.
Would Chris own these vehicles, or does the county own these vehicles?
No, the county. All those vehicles are county.
Okay, so we would have to find somebody else to operate the service, but we'd have the equipment in place?
Yes, yes. And there are new regulations with IDOT that will start January 1st, under which Eileen, who has been doing all the oversight of the Chris services, will not be able to do this any longer. Then it will be Tina. We just hired Tina Anson. She will be doing that as part of the work that we are doing with Chris.
Rita, explain that, why that change, what took place under the new regulations.
The basic change from IDOT is that they want a person, they want any county receiving rural funding, rural transportation funding, to have a person within the county to oversee the operation and to be able to make sure that things are done the right way. We have been doing that as RPC for some time with Eileen. The problem is that Eileen also does, she coordinates the service for 12 counties surrounding Champaign County as the Human Services Transportation Plant Coordinator.
For example, I do cover Paris, and I should say that, and I also go as far south as Shelby County, and even sometimes as far north as DeWitt County. Just to give you kind of a frame of reference, Clinton, going up to Clinton a lot, going down to Arcola sometimes, and I really love Casey, but I know that
the
homework's just
good. Then, because she's doing that kind of job, they think that there will be a conflict of interest on what she's doing with the 12 counties and also seeing Champaign County. Mm-hmm. Then the request from IDOT was to have a person from the county just overseeing what how rural transportation is being done in Champaign County. That's why now we are hiring her to do that. Separate from
and introduce her so that we know who she
Tina Marie Anson. She's a planner. She's doing that's one of the tasks that she's doing, overseeing Chris, aside from other tasks that she's doing under RPC.
And you work for RPC now?
Yes.
And you don't?
She does.
I do, but I am contacted through the state. The state has an oversight problem. They have an oversight regulation, but they also got a resource problem, and they're getting better. They actually, even last week, the state actually, hold your breath, paid all of their bills to us. They don't owe us a dollar.
Transportation.
I almost fainted.
That was a mistake. It goes back to that oversight problem.
But you know what though? But you know why they realized that. As long as we continue, I'm trying to find it. It's just what happened in Clark and Edgar and how Rides Mass Transit District, Clark and Edgar County had a little bit of an incident with some oversight issues. The people were getting transported. It was just a matter of everybody was relying on one person, and they needed Rides Mass Transit District. Rides Mass Transit District goes all the way south to Harrisburg. They figured out how they can get their efficiency, use the resources that exist, but you know, and those are one of the people we were talking to when IDOT was explaining to us about the whole PCOM thing. PCOM is, I'm not explaining it well.
No, that's fine.
Sorry, I get excited about it because this is all I know.
But the main reason is that she is under RPC, but she has a separate contract with IDOT. All the funding to pay her comes directly from IDOT to do just the oversight for the 12 counties. Then they don't want to use funding from that part or overlap the responsibilities for Champaign as well as the 12 counties.
I see. So you'll continue to do what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
but the individual counties will also have to provide dedicated staff.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Each county has to have a person who's 100% neutral, not beholden to the operator, but beholden to the county, to ensure the county's needs are being met, but that they also know what's going on. Because
Because, and that's, you know, the complexity with state issues, somebody's gotta know.
And is the state providing the funding to hire you?
The funding will come for the funding provided for the rural transportation.
Okay.
And I can explain that we don't have enough operating money, because, well, we have enough operating money, I'm sorry, I messed up. We don't have enough vehicles. IDOT has a bidding process they have to go through. And what happened is, the regulations, we have leftover operating money that we're not spending, because we're not allowed to turn it into capital. This opportunity came up because enough people left over some operating money, and they said, you know, we can't allocate it somewhere else, but we need this capital because we know there's demand in all these areas. We weren't the only one who received money for this. All across the street, across the state, they got funding. So it's gonna be exciting, I think. But, and I apologize, I'll be quiet now, but.
No, that's fine. I got one more question. You don't have to answer this if you don't know the answer or don't wanna answer, but, you know, going back to the Urban Mass Transit Act in the, what's the, early sixties maybe? You know, the general progression of that program, or, excuse me, Urban Mass Transportation Administration, the general progression of that program was, cities need mass transit, so government is going to help the cities build mass transit systems, but it's not gonna pay to operate.
Yes, but we still need vehicles.
And so the city, so they stepped in and they, you know, helped build subway systems and helped build the infrastructure, okay? Then they said, well, then, of course, the lobbyists who worked for the companies that made the systems, made the rail cars, said, well, you know, they gotta have some additional money to be able to buy rolling stock. So then the government said, well, okay, we'll expand the program to include rolling stock. So then they bought rolling stock. And then, of course, you had cities that had big systems with plenty of rolling stock, and when it came time to actually pay to operate them, the cities didn't have the money to operate them. So then this program, which was supposed to originally be seed money for construction, and then became seed money for construction, and became rolling stock, then became, you know, essentially an operating program. These programs change over time, and is this level of funding that we're getting from the state to operate these programs gonna continue? Or is this gonna be something that 10 years from now, we're gonna have the vehicles, we're gonna have the vehicles, we're gonna have you, and the state's gonna say, well, you know, we don't really wanna pay for this anymore, why don't the county take this over?
Well, that will depend on what happened at the federal level with the transportation bills.
So this is federal, this is essentially mostly federal money?
This is federal funding.
Federal is 80% covering capital, for the record. And they did it through gas sales tax, federal gas sales tax.
And what about operations? Where's the operations money come from? The same?
The operation primarily comes from the state, but it also can be,
I know, is it the same source, is it also the federal?
IDOT matches, okay, back up to the federal level. Department of Transportation is the only Department of Transportation in the federal government that can match federal with federal. Nobody else can do that. So if you, if Chris takes clients from Developmental Service Center from Ford County, north of us, to Grand Tool.
Lived in Ford County.
Oh, did you? Where?
Gibson? Paxton.
Okay, cool. If they pick up those people from there and they bring them to Grand Tool, then they can use that money that they generated from that service contract to pay. Even though that's, it's a smart.
But this is just a small portion.
And the reason they allow us to do that is because for every dollar spent in rural transportation nationwide, on average, you get $4 back for every dollar you use.
Sure, I understand. It's economically beneficial program, but whether that means they're gonna continue to pay or not.
We don't know. Really, we don't know. It will depend on the transportation bill.
Okay.
Capital is a smart investment.
Yeah, and I'm not as much talking about the capital as I am about the operating subsidies.
And yeah, there is ways to do, there's coordination methods to achieve efficiencies.
I mean, the money that's paying to operate, the money that's buying the fuel, the money that's paying Chris to provide the drivers to drive the things, that's federal money as well?
Yes. A portion is federal money, another portion is state funding. And also the local match that we collect here.
And the local match is coming from motor fuel tax money?
No, from the rights, from what every.
Oh, the actual fee for service, okay.
From contract that they have with.
So
certain agencies.
Chris is concerned that the money dries up.
Yeah, is it coming?
Who's gonna, who's it gonna fall to?
Well, you know, it's gonna be responsibility, so it's gonna fall to us to, you know, where's that money gonna come from? Another unfunded mandate all of a sudden, and now we have a, you know, that, I think that's what Chris has that concern. I think Diane has that concern.
Everybody's concerned, but my question.
I could see her eyes flickering when she heard, you know, the federal money.
But, you know, we don't know. We don't know what is going to happen.
I mean, the feds pay for these programs in large part because the companies that make the vehicles want the government to have money to turn on and buy their vehicles. I mean, everybody wants capital programs, but nobody really wants to pay for operating programs.
Yeah, no, I understand, yeah. That's the same concern that we all have, but there is a need and there were.
Sure, okay, thank you.
Okay.
I'll probably ask you the same question every year.
Yes, you.
No, I understand. I have the same question then, like.
Well, then the question becomes whether we wanna give Gary and John a ride on the bus when they, get to that point they need to ride.
Oh, you think?
They just have to make an appointment, call them, make an appointment.
I'm not giving you a ride on the bus when you get old.
I don't plan to get old.
Where was that thought?
I'm old. I've already passed the old to very old.
No.
Any more discussion?
Yes.
Okay, I need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor of this resolution, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you.
Okay. Next thing is the county and township motor fuel tax claim for November 2013. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and second. Now it's open for discussion. Seeing that, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, we're gonna go into the county engineers.
Oh, thanks.
We have a petition from, actually a couple of petitions. Your next two agenda items from Brett Cox, Newcomb Road District. He's got a couple of pipe culverts underneath the road where he's having some issues with some water along the roads and so forth, and gone out and look at them. And the first one, estimated cost of $15,000 to replace that culvert in Newcomb Road District, and I would ask for your approval of that petition and resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's open for discussion.
Notice the petition doesn't say exactly where it's located, it just gives a section number. Is that typical?
Yes, I mean, we provide a map that shows exactly where they're at behind there, but we don't go out and do a physical survey and come up with a physical mark of where, yeah. Yep.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
And the next petition is actually along the same roadway, in the amount of $10,000 for a culvert replacement in Newcomb Road District as well. Ask for your approval of that.
So moved.
Second. Go ahead.
Okay, it's been moved and second, so it's open for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Next item is from the last county board meeting in the, in the closed session where we talked about the sale of property on the Dewey Fisher Road. Still have not received anything concrete from the buyer, so there's, I actually emailed her yesterday, and apparently having some financing issues because the home was damaged prior to the last person leaving it. It's been foreclosed on, and it's tough to get loans when you have those types of situations. So they're still working on the financing of that, and if it comes to fruition, I'll come back to the Highway and Transportation Committee to move forward with that transaction. But as of now, it's kind of in hold mode.
Jeff, I got a question if I could.
Yes, sir.
We're getting, you are getting ready to do a monster project on the Dewey Fisher Road. Isn't it a possibility that we could use that facility for storage while we're working on that road?
We would not necessarily use it for storage. The contractor may would like to use it for storage, but there's no obligation by us to provide them any storage space on a road project. And the only thing they might possibly use it for is to store culverts or that kind of thing. And we're not going to have somebody pile up aggregate or millings along the edge of the roadway in a grass area. It becomes an EPA issue.
And there's two parcels, as I understood it, the one on that these folks was interested in across the road. How big was the one across the road?
It's smaller. It's probably more like an acre, acre and a half.
And that's a dedicated waterway going through that would have to be maintained there regardless of what happens to it?
There's a waterway that we're maintaining and keeping on our right-of-way. We're not selling that portion of it.
It looks like it was fairly substantial and not necessary.
Yeah, and we took enough right-of-way before we would even sell the property to be outside of that ditch line.
And I'm assuming then that you've taken enough right-of-way, in your opinion, to protect the county from whatever might need to happen to either one of those roads?
More than adequate, yes. Okay. Yeah, because if anything were to ever be done with those curves, which I don't foresee happening, because you could drive them at 55 now, they would actually be shifted, you know, to the south and west, because you would flatten them out, not make them straighter. So we're still, I think this is becoming less and less of a possibility. At the time that I brought it to the county board, you know, it was one of those deals, they were red hot, got to go now because we got to get financing. The bank wants to get everything, all the paperwork put together, and then apparently there's been some issues.
I go by and looked at it. It looked like to me it's a property with a little distress on it, probably having a hard time moving it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not ours.
Not ours. The house. Yeah. That's right. Apparently the person who they foreclosed upon did some serious damage to the house prior to leaving.
Oh, surely not.
No, I would never believe that would happen.
So can I go home this weekend on our property?
It's a little close to the road. And there's probably nothing in there.
I don't think you'll find anything too.
Yes.
A couple of questions. Is the buyer a county employee?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not sure that was made clear at the closed session.
Probably not that it matters,
but
yeah.
We need to
not an elected employee of any kind.
I understand. We need to make sure there's not an appearance of sort of insider knowledge there.
Sure.
The next question I had was related to the sale. Would another option be, especially if these guys are having trouble getting financing, would a long-term lease be a possibility? Since all they're going to use is horse pasture land?
Could be.
That's something we might want to bring up, because that way the county could retain ownership of it in the long term. But if we wanted to do a 20-year lease or something for a market rate, that might save them some money. Make sure that we could maintain control of the land. I mean, that would keep the scenarios that came up at the closed session where people said, well, could they build on it?
Right.
We talked about all these covenants that we try to impose on the land. One easy way to do that would be just to do it as a lease.
That's
obviously
true.
It wouldn't add to the value of their property, but it would certainly add to their use and enjoyment of it if they had access to that other parcel. So you might want to keep that in the back of your mind.
We could get something from them.
Yeah. And then the third question I had is, and the final question is, what do we think the likelihood of there being more of these scenarios out there is, and what do we need to do to get these, are there unrecorded county lands out there that we should have the deeds recorded for? And how would we find those, and what do we do to?
That's a good question. We actually found this deed in our dust files, never recorded, when this property was purchased.
Yeah.
So
is there any way to do it through the assessor's office?
Well, Well, the assessor actually had it wrong because it was never recorded. The assessor had the property going with the people across the roadway.
So, not recorded, you don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I assume there's a deed recorded for every piece of ground in Champaign County, but in this case, right, we had actually, it had been subdivided essentially, well, not subdivided is the wrong word, but it had been carved up.
Right.
And we bought some of it, and that never got recorded.
Yep.
This came up a couple of times before in the past where the county found land that we didn't know that we had. So this is not the first time this has happened, and I think we tried to get the county to do a survey of the land that we own, because this is the property here in Champaign and Urbana that the county owned, but nobody knows where it is. I remember when I first got on the board, we had board members that were farming land at the county. And they would give the county $1 a year.
Wow.
For it, but I don't know if, you know, what happened.
Well, to answer your question, the only properties that we would have ever purchased is where curbs were changed from, you know, T intersections to a curve, like the Flatville Road, for example, coming out of St. Joe into Flatville, those two curves before you get to Flatville. We have the recorded documents that we own those corners. That's why the townships store their gravel there.
Leverett Road, where they straightened out that curve, for example.
There were curves around.
There were curves going out 12 to Gifford also.
Royal.
There used to be a two right angle curves, and they straightened them out.
That roadway was a turn back from the state to the county, so if there's some land in there, it's probably owned by the state.
They probably don't know it either.
Probably. Yep.
Throw a deed on it now.
We had this same conversation probably 5 or 6 years after I got on this board. We had them come up with a whole list, and still we missed some. Now, meantime, we found out the operation, everybody thought we had a say in the county, what you call that, by car.
Oh, the fairground.
The fairground. But we don't. Way back, it was a bunch of guys got together with the Buses, I think, from way back then. No kidding. And they created this committee, and they taking over the fairground, and we never had anything that, you know, to do with the Senate. Mm-hmm. Now we give them security out there and all that. We supposed to be getting paid for it.
I think we get paid for that.
We do.
Right.
We do get paid.
Well, that's when we investigated and found out that, and then we started just providing that, but then they paid us back.
Can that deed be recorded now?
It is being recorded now. Yeah.
And then the other thing about that land is probably however long that's from the point of time when that deed was signed and it went into the county ownership, those people have probably paid taxes on that land continuously since then. I don't know how to be fair about that, but that might be something with regard to the, you know, the...
I don't think that's a county problem, quite frankly. That's a problem of the guy that's paying the taxes.
I guess if he wanted to come and ask for it, but yeah. If we could segregate that so that, you know, that goes away from him.
Yeah, it's being recorded. We got an opinion from a land surveyor that even though the document had not been recorded, it had all been properly signed. It's a 1971 document that it was still okay to go ahead and record it, so it's been recorded.
Did we find out who's maintaining the land?
It's being mowed by somebody. Do we mow that, Tracy? Don't know then.
They did a nice job.
Yeah, somebody kept it mowed nice.
Mows it so.
Yeah, why don't we ask for an updated list on our property?
It's unrecorded, you can't. If it's unrecorded, you don't know.
Wait, yes. What do you mean we don't know?
If it's unrecorded, like this property.
Wasn't on the list.
That's why.
Yeah. What then we need to, Oh, I know where some right now that we spoke on. I wanna look at the list and see do they appear on the list.
He wants a list of everything that we do know, so we can see if there's something that he thinks is on the list.
We don't, yeah.
Yeah.
Who has that list? You guys, assessor's office?
What we used to own, Snooks, that used to be our list, Snooks.
Or maybe if he just brings his list of what he has in mind, that we could check it off easier than, you know, do that in a reverse way. If you think there's something on, and have Lloyd bring a list in.
If you have something that you wanna propose, you know, you have some.
Okay.
Idea, bring what you have, and then we can search it and see what.
I did it before, that's where we found out that we.
You never know.
Right.
We might own a lot more property than we know. Reavers.
Not a long way.
Could be oil under that grounds on there too.
Now, Jeff, is this for information only?
Yes, I thought maybe I would have something by the time the committee met, but obviously the people haven't made a decision, so it's just an informational item, so no vote necessary. And then the next item, you gave me the contract award authority at the last highway committee meeting, and then the board approved it at the last board meeting for the township rock letting. The bid tabs are actually in your agenda, but I provided a comparison from last year of the costs of the aggregates that were bid and awarded to the townships for this year, and you'll see there was a, you know, a pretty nice increase for the most part of the aggregate costs for the townships. You know, if you average it out, I'm sure it's, you know, 6-8% increase.
I'm just curious, maybe I'm reading this wrong, but I'm looking at Ayers Township's CA-16.
Mm-hmm.
That shows a jump of 17%.
Yep.
Yeah.
$2.56.
Yet, in CA-16 in other areas, a much smaller rise. Why is there such a discrepancy between the same kind of rock in one area as it is like in Harwood Township, which is only 2.8%?
It depends on who's delivering it.
Yeah, it depends on the low. We get a number of bids from different truckers and haulers. It's a very competitive process. I don't think there's anything you could say that would knock the competitiveness of the process that we use.
It's all over the board here, you know. You're
right.
Low at 2%, some are less than 1%, and then up to 17% on some of these.
I think what that's showing now is that the rock costs have actually gone up.
Mm-hmm.
Ayers Township is, you know, very close to Tuscola as compared to all the other townships. So the aggregate hauling of the material probably didn't increase a lot because we haven't had a huge increase in fuel and so forth in the last year. But I think the cost of the material coming out of the quarry or out of the rock quarry has increased. So I think that's why you're seeing Ayers jump more than anybody else. But they've all, you know, gone up.
Down here in the Sedoras Township, 15 for 500, you got a 17% increase also.
Yep.
In Scott Township, you had only 3%.
Yes. Again, Sedoras is much closer to Tuscola than Scott is.
Scott is.
Yep. So I think that would be the reason. I don't know how. Have pit prices gone up pretty substantially? So I think the raw material cost is increasing, but the hauling cost is
going up.
Right.
Nate, tell me.
And we still think this is the most efficient way to do this, as opposed to, you know, buying a, I don't want to use the word ton, buying a whole lot of tons of this stuff and having the county haul it to the townships, or,
yeah,
I mean,
I was wondering.
Sure, this is.
Well, the county, we don't, we go to, like, for instance, we're going to drive to Pekin all winter and haul our own aggregate materials here for our seal coating operations. Now, on the back of your sheet, you do have, let's see, actually, it's on the back of the bid tab. You did have a couple of townships that went material only, FOB. You'll see Champaign Township, Rantoul Township, Stanton, and Tolono. They are going to haul their own materials.
Mm-hmm.
majority of these guys have one, maybe two, you know, single axle trucks. They don't have the capacity. This is, all this stuff's being hauled by semis.
Sure.
You're getting 20 tons of load. So, you know, like a Champaign Township, Rantoul Township, they have resources, they have equipment.
I mean, not understanding this process entirely, it seemed to me you'd have some guy, and I don't, I mean, how many truckloads is, how many truckloads is 1,000 tons?
That would be 50 truckloads.
Okay, so this is, there's a lot of this.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't like a truck can drive around the county dropping this stuff off in the township. This is a lot of material.
I mean, when these truckers start hauling, like a Summers Trucking who got, you know, half of the bids, they'll start hauling in January and they'll haul all the way through March just with their semi trucks.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's quite a, they employ a lot of people, let's put it that way.
Yeah, 1,000 tons is a lot.
Yes, it is.
That's a good point. It's a lot more than one truck.
Yeah, yep, indeed. So that was for inform, I always like to bring it back when you guys give me the award authority. I want you guys to know what's going on, even though we've moved ahead with the contracts and they're already sitting down on IDOT's desk for signature so that the rock haulers can start hauling as soon as we get those back. Because a lot of these guys haul grain and so forth, so they use this as their off-season hauling to keep their people employed, keep their trucks rolling. So it's a good thing for us to be able to do this during the winter, because I think it helps out our bid prices a lot to get this rock haul.
One other question.
Yeah.
We're showing total in the back there, $481,000, right? How much higher is that than last year? I don't see a total number from last year. I'm just curious as to how much more it's costing us in 1 year.
Well, I honestly don't know because she didn't add it up. Faith did this for me. I don't know what the total dollar amount is. This is actually, none of this aggregate is county aggregate. This is township aggregate.
Okay.
For the townships. The majority of it is for their seal coat programs to do their seal coats during the summertime. The 15s and 16s, that's what they are. They're a small type of seal coat aggregate. But I don't know, Al, without totaling that up. And I'm pretty good at math, but not that quick. But I'm going to guess, you know, it looks like it's up about 10%, so probably 440. It would be a pretty good number for last year. I could get that total and email it out to everybody if you'd like.
I'm just curious just to see how it costs a prison over the period of the year.
Does this all come out of local quarries, or is any of this come on rail? Or
nothing on rail. It either come out of Hanson's, which is in Vermilion County, or it'll come out of Tuscola Stone down in Douglas County. We're not fortunate enough to have a quarry in Champaign County.
Well, that's not bad if you put in a account. Do y'all know what it is to insure a truck, the whole that little dirt, the gasoline?
Yeah.
All of this got to be incorporated in there. So 30% is not bad. Groceries went up over that. I'm telling you, that's an expense when you get out there operating equipment for the highway.
I say something, Jeff.
Yeah.
Over my year of experience, sometimes you see the prices fluctuate a lot. Sometimes these truckers will haul to a township, but then he'll have a backhaul. Mm-hmm. So you'll see his prices cheaper sometimes, and then it depends on the quantity, how much this township's getting on the price.
Right.
So sometimes you'll see a backhaul with some of these truckers, and some of these townships, that'll get a pretty good price.
Yeah.
Those truckers.
Go out buy a 10,000 ton truck and do all sorts of stuff.
Then we'd have to have 10,000 ton roads. I don't think those are going to happen.
Well, the state thinks we can load that, you know, 80, 90, 100,000 pounds. You know,
Well.
They couldn't care less about our roads.
Any other questions on material letting results? Just wanted to give you a quick summary of, we had the open house on for the Dewey Fisher Road right here in this room. We had about 50 people come, which is a tremendous turnout for an open house for a project like that. We sent notices to all the landowners, anybody that lived in the area. We had it in the newspaper. As many many media outlets as we could get it to, so I thought we had a very, very good turnout. And honestly, I heard very little negative comments about what we're trying to do up there. You know, when you get a project of this magnitude and you have 100 different landowners, of course, there's gonna be a handful that, you know, don't wanna do anything, but I would say a vast majority of the people there, like 90% of the people there, were very positive about the project. We are at the point right now where we're still in preliminary engineering. I've got Dan going through the plans over the last couple of weeks. We're trying to see where we can reduce the right-of-way takings to as minimal as possible, but still be able to build the safe road that we're trying to build and do it right. We cannot begin negotiations until the state does their survey, looking for arrowheads and that kind of stuff. Because obviously if there's a property of historic significance, that throws a monkey wrench into our ability to purchase that property. So until we get all the clearances from the state, which is likely to be late winter to spring, we can't really begin talking with the landowners about purchasing the property. Now, we gave them all documents that showed, you know, their property and in the vicinity of the road and the proposed right-of-way from the preliminary engineering. The maximum, right now we have 30 feet of right-of-way from each side of the center line on Dewey Fisher Road. The maximum taking that we drew on the preliminary plans was a 40-foot, so 10 extra feet on each side. We think there are a number of areas where we will not need any right-of-way, and there'll be some where we can reduce that right-of-way taking from 40 down to 35 feet. So we're doing our due diligence to make sure we, you know, have the least impact on the footprint of the road as we possibly can. And I look forward to getting this project rolling. It's gonna take a while. I mean, we're gonna have to deal with 70 to 80 landowners face-to-face.
I think the reason that we're not seeing a lot of negative is they know how important this road is and how important this upgrade is for their own
right.
use. But I want to thank you. I think you have a very unique way of transparency for the community. These open houses that you have here sort of give them an opportunity to actually see the whole project,
right.
understand what we're trying to accomplish. And that's why you can get the questions and the concerns out of the way early when they take a look. And I've been watching over 5 years how you continue to do these open houses, and I think that kind of model should be used in other projects so that people don't get confused about what we're trying to accomplish and that we're not trying to, you know, take away anything from them but give them an opportunity to upgrade
right.
their area because of the improvements that we want to make. So. I'd like you to keep, you know, continue. I want to thank you for being able to do that. It makes it much easier. and whenever it comes, whether it be highways or our own roads. So thank
right.
you for that. I
right. Yeah, we're ahead of the curve here with this open house, no doubt.
Yeah.
You know, but there were, like Al was talking about, there were rumors out there, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And we want to dispel those rumors and get the truth out there so that people understand what we're really trying to do before we seek any right-of-way takings. Because that's the last thing I want to do is try to dispel the rumors while I'm, you know, starting to talk to them about needing 5 or 10 feet of their fields in order to build the project. It's sorely needed, not only from a traffic standpoint. We've got a lot of drainage issues out on that roadway. We get water across the road when we get big floods.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's a very big safety hazard. We have some areas where it's bad for snow blowing and catching on the roadway. And so we're trying to address all of those issues. It's not going to be perfect, you know, but it'll be as close as we can get it to make the people happy.
I expect perfection.
I know you do.
Obviously, if we're only taking 5 or 10.
Well, if you're around the restaurant, you've got 38%
of dirt.
There's some larger Well, there might be a few fences that would have to move.
I'm thinking of private, I'm thinking of people's.
Nobody's homes, no. In front of the homes, we really, really try, whether it be with tile or what we have to do in order to make sure we're not impacting anybody's property, you know, directly in front of their home, or taking trees, or, you know, we really try to avoid those situations. Sometimes they're unavoidable, but majority of the time we can do something engineering wise to.
Well, this road have the same kind of rumble strips as you did with Monticello.
Yes.
I was just out for a meeting out of Monticello. I sort of took my mind off the road for a second, as you do, because you're up there, it's a, you know, it's a long, straight road.
Yes, it is.
Something comes up, and I hit that middle rumble strip, and it immediately brought me back. That's, I think, having a middle rumble strip rather than just the outside ones, very helpful for those, you know, you move a little to the left and somebody's moving a little to the right and on a single lane road. But it, I'm glad to see that. I think we should do that on almost every single road if we can.
Yeah.
Because
it's a nice safety.
It is a very, it's very helpful right away, you know, you get that.
I don't like.
Focus back up pretty quickly.
Yeah, solitude's always good.
Also interfere with snow, I was gonna ask, does that interfere with snow plows?
Actually, it helps the guys during a major snowstorm, they can't see.
They know where they're.
They can see them on the road. That's another, yeah, that's why I wanted a salt truck going out last night to Royal, just in case, because I'm afraid that single road out there, if we did have a storm, you know, blowing across there, you're not gonna be able to see that road. So.
We had a lot of positive comments about, I was a little bit nervous because it's actually not a standard across the country to put rumble strips on the edge and on the center line, because people think it gets too tight. My opinion is when people have to stay between this rumble strip and this rumble strip, obviously they tend to pay more attention and they also tend to slow down. They really do. When you feel a little bit squeezed on a road, you're not gonna do 80 because you just feel like there's not as much space out. And people say, oh, you're gonna put a 4-foot paved shoulder and a 2-foot aggregate shoulder and that road's gonna become a raceway. And I'm like, no, we're gonna put rumble strips in and that's really gonna keep people to the middle. They have to stay a little bit more focused and they don't tend to speed as much as you would think when you do those types of things. So I think it has that factor as well.
Keep you walking out where they did it for you.
I have a smaller car.
Yeah, he was probably doing about 54 when he hit that. All right. I don't have any other business except to give you a heads up that there's a pretty good chance we won't have a January meeting. I'm going to be out of town on the 10th. On the scheduled date, I don't believe we're going to have anything that's pressing in January, so it's likely we'll cancel it. But we won't make that decision until a little bit closer to the meeting, just in case something comes up, and then I can have John or somebody come in and present it to you.
I like this new program you got this year with the snow, stays south of I-70.
We've been working on that for a few years.
Last year, the same way. It was storm, everybody was trying.
Tracy doesn't like being on TV, so.
You didn't see him on WCIA yesterday?
Where are we when the
ICC here?
Right. Oh, you want it? Mr. Richards asked about the ICC and the Olympian Drive. That was supposed to be, we were supposed to be before the judge on December 4th. We all went over to Springfield on December 4th. It was actually on the commission's bench session, is what they call it. And they told the judge that they hadn't had time to look it over, so therefore they made no movement. And then on.
You mean November 4th.
November 4th, yes, I'm sorry. And then on December 4th, we were supposed to be there Wednesday. Tuesday they had another bench session. They said the same thing, we don't have anything. So there's supposed to be another bench session on the 9th, and IDOT is actually asking if they can speak in public participation to tell the ICC that, look, you know, we've been waiting for multiple years. This is in the Illinois Department of Transportation's program for fiscal year 2014. We need to get some kind of movement one way or the other from the ICC to get this thing going. So once the actual commission, which is just five people, makes a decision on the interlocutory appeal, either way, if they say, no, we think that the intervener should be allowed to present their witness, then we'll go back to the judge and they'll present their witness. If they say, no, the judge was right, that person is not an expert witness and should not be allowed to testify, then we'll go back to the judge and we'll wrap this whole thing up. Now, that doesn't mean there's not going to be another roadblock thrown up that I don't know anything about because I'm not a lawyer, but we got to get through the ICC and make a judgment on this interlocutory appeal before we can move forward.
Is the they you're referring to the ICC or the interveners who keeps saying they aren't ready and asking for more time?
The ICC. That's where we're at. We're ready. I mean, we got the right-of-way purchase from the Heimbergers. We have the right-of-way purchase from the Squires, signed the contract, which I didn't think would ever happen, and it did. And the plans are in final review at IDOT. We have all the environmental clearances. I mean, literally, as soon as the ICC says that money is good to go, we can be in a letting within a month. So we're ready to roll.
But you wouldn't start until the spring anyway.
No. But it would be nice, see, in IDOT, you bid something, let's say, and then it takes 60 days for the contract to clear through Springfield before the contractor ever gets it back and can actually start. So if we don't bid it by March or April, we can't start in May or June.
Right.
If we don't bid it till June, you just might as well forget about the summer. Because by the time you get the contract back from IDOT, it'll be August, and the summer will be over.
Dang.
What happens if the whole thing bombs and we end up owning this property?
There's a buyout clause, okay. And we don't own it, Urbana does.
Well, I wonder, right. Because yeah. I would think Urbana would want to just kind of go forward with what their part was.
There's a clause in the sales contract with the Squires that if this project doesn't come to fruition in 7 years, that they have the right to purchase the property back at the same price that Urbana purchased it for.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah, if they desire
but to. But will they buy it back at $35,000 an acre?
Who knows? Will they spend all the money they get now or will they sit on it? I don't know. It's not going to be one of those deals where we have to put it on the, we have to go find county property because it's going to be owned by Urbana.
So Urbana actually owns that property?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
Jeff's the negotiator actually for
right.
Urbana. So
I understand that, but I thought
and actually,
had something to do with
money.
Us.
Since we're only building a two-lane section right now and we purchased enough for a four-lane,
right.
They're leasing part of the property back to the Squires to continue
okay.
to farm it until the four lanes go in
right.
at
okay.
whatever time that happens.
Yeah.
That's good.
So it will be farmed. It's not just going to sit there in weeds.
Good.
That's all I have.
Okay, next thing on the agenda is all the business. No other business? Okay, seeing then the designated item to be placed on the consent agenda.
The two petitions were the only
mm-hmm.
two items we voted on.
Seven
and eight.
Yeah.
Okay. So is there anything else
right.
for the committee to consider?
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll be back. I don't know.
What?
I kind of wish everybody Merry Christmas, but I hope I'll be back.
Well, Merry Christmas.
I'm going to get my surgery done on my back.
Oh,
okay.
Well, we'll be thinking
and
about we'll
I'll show you. I'm not happy of my leadership as vice chair, but if I can get my body back and my brain. I'm gonna be assessed to Jeff. We gonna get some more things done that I know how to do.
Well, Lorraine runs a good ship.
Yeah. And I wish the prayer from all of y'all.
You got one. Couple of them.
Yep, take care of it, Mark.
Okay, if it's nothing else, we'll move to adjourn.
Sounds good.
Have a good Christmas.
You too.
Merry Christmas.
We'll see you all before.